This episode was sponsored by We Feed Raw. Feeding dogs real food should not feel complicated. With We Feed Raw, it doesn't. Complete and balanced raw meals are customized for each dog's size, age, and activity level, then delivered right to the door. Just thaw, serve, and feed. No prep, no guesswork, no trying to figure out portions alone. Inside every meal is the highest quality meat, nutrient-rich organs, and premium nutrition designed to support better digestion, healthier skin and coats, and lasting energy. Real food, made practical for real life. Visit WeFeedRaw.com to get started and see today's best offer.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit TRE.radio.
Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
That would be me, and I am glad to know that you are at the other end of this microphone. Good to be with you on this Monday evening for another edition of the Irish programme Live on Air. Tonight on the programme, I'm going to be talking to Ben Sweeney about things in Ireland, exactly how they are at the moment, to get a sense as to how things are on the street and indeed in the world of media. Ben is the producer of Clare FM's Morning Focus programme. I'm going to be talking to some people who are doing their bit online to help you and me and everybody else that's locked in to get through this by entertaining them, by keeping them fit and generally keeping the spirits up. So more details on that a little later on. I will be playing the number one song in Ireland on this very day back in 1988. It's a song that I'd kind of forgotten about as well. There'll be other bits and pieces of Irish music. Indeed, a good mixed bag of Irish music on the programme this evening so far. Now, our contact details, can I tell you, I'm not in studio tonight. I'm actually in Ireland, and it's not been a bad old day at all. A little bit of rain in the last couple of hours, but it's not been a bad day. I even managed to get the grass cut, which is great. So that's the way things happen. I am back in Ireland since last Thursday and keeping myself very much to myself, as indeed has been recommended since I was travelling from Spain. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So really, what I'm saying to you is that I don't have the telephone line open. I don't have access to texts and WhatsApps and things like that. But if you want to send an email at any stage, you can do that 24/7, in fact. Ger, @tre.radio. That is how you will get me. We always start with the famous Irish birthdays. Well, last week we didn't because we had the ambassador and we took her message first. But let's start today with the famous Irish birthdays, shall we? Joseph Locke. If you're of a certain age, you will know who Joseph Locke is or was. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us. He was born in Derry in 1917 on this very day, the 23rd of March. He was born Joseph McLaughlin, but changed his name to Joseph Locke. Cedric Gibbons. Now, if I knew this, I'd forgotten all about it. Cedric Gibbons was born on this day back in 1893 in Dublin. And he is the man that designed the Oscar statuette. Yeah, and he won 11 of them himself. It must have been for design and various things. But Cedric Gibbons, born on this day, 1893. We had one of the Corr sisters last week whose birthday it was as well. Well, Sharon Corr celebrates her birthday tomorrow, the 24th of March, born in Dundalk in 1970. Donica O'Callaghan, Munster and Ireland rugby player, was born in Cork in 1979. And Maeve Higgins, comedian, was born in Cove in County Cork in 1981. Wednesday is the 25th of March. Michael Davitt, the father of the Land League, is how he was termed. He was born in Mayo on that day in 1864. No, he wasn't. He was born in 1846. I just got the two figures reversed there. A man by the name of Des Keogh, actor and entertainer, born in Burr in County Offaly in 1935. He and his wife, Rosaline Lenehan, both entertained a lot of people down through the years. But anyway, Des, born 25th of March, 1935. Tony Fenton, wonderful radio DJ, born in Dublin in 1961. A superb radio man. Unfortunately, passed away 3 years or 4 years ago, maybe now. Died at a very young age and sadly missed from the airwaves in Ireland, I can assure you. The 26th, Barbara Dowling, the actor, was born in Dublin on that day in 1953. And it is also my dad's birthday. Indeed it is. So we wish Daddy Sweeney a very happy birthday on the 27th. Moving on then to the 28th, Philip Walton, the golfer, was born in 1962. Nell McCafferty, the journalist and feminist born in Derry in 1944. John Alderdice, the Alliance Party leader in Northern Ireland, born in Ballymena in 1955. And Terence McSweeney. Now, last week I said to you that Terence was celebrating, that we were marking Terence McSweeney's birthday. I don't know where and how it got mixed up, but it wasn't the correct date. The correct date is actually the 28th of March. He was a playwright. He was a volunteer in the War of Independence, and he was also the mayor of Cork City. In 1879, he was born on the 28th of March. And finally, we go to next Sunday, which is the last day for us of the week. Brendan Gleeson, the actor, was born in Dublin in 1955. Peg Sayers was born in Drumquin in County Kerry, 1873. And Ruby Murray, the singer, was born in Belfast in 1933. So there we go. Some of the famous Irish birthdays that we mark this coming week. We had a musical one to start with, born on this day, the 23rd of March, back in 1917. Joseph McLaughlin, or as we know him better, Joseph Locke. Let's take a track from him this evening. Here's a gorgeous song. It's called Hear My Song. Joseph Locke was born on this day back in 1917. And there he is. He was born Joseph McLaughlin. A beautiful song there called Hear My Song. Going to take a quick break. Come back to me just after that. I will be talking to some people in Ireland and Spain about their efforts to keep our spirits up and to keep our level of fitness up as we're locked inside, most of us anyway. Right, so don't go away. Come back to me just after this very quick commercial break.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Welcome back to the programme. As I did mention at the top, the programme being broadcast from Ireland this week, and it looks as though it's going to be broadcast from here on a regular basis for the next couple of weeks. Thank you for joining us this afternoon and this evening. And can I say, a lot of people are working very hard to keep our spirits up and to keep us fit as well. And they're using the modern technology that we have online. Now, I first came across this on St. Patrick's Day because a lot of people put things up. But one man from Ennis in County Clare that I would have worked with in the past is a man by the name of Ollie Malooly. And Ollie is a very well-known DJ or entertainer in and around County Clare and probably farther afield as well. And he came up with the idea on St. Patrick's Night of doing a live session on Facebook from his sitting room where he played music and he asked people to send in requests. And it was phenomenally successful. Then on Saturday evening last, he did something similar. He joins me on the phone right now. How are you, Ollie?
I'm in great form, actually, Jeff. Great form.
And thanks to you, a lot of people today are in superb form as well. Firstly, tell me a little bit about yourself. You're not from County Clare or Ireland originally, but you've been here a fairly long time.
Yeah, I'm 20 years in May, living in Ennis. Manchester born to... my mum's from outside Ennis in County Clare. Lovely. And my dad's a common man, so I became Irish at heart anyway. So.
And you've been entertaining the masses for years. How did you get into it?
My parish priest in Manchester, I come from an area called Cholton-Cumhardy, and my parish priest, Father Murray, asked me would I put a few records on for the youth club.
Right.
So that's how it started.
Wow.
35 years ago. So.
And there's you have a speciality. You do an Irish disco, don't you?
Yeah, I do an Irish disco, but it'd be more classed as the trad music.
Yes.
Traditional Irish music. It's the more modern Irish music, which would be kind of, they call it fusion. There's a band, the likes of Lunasa, Four Men and a Dog. It's quite high energy Irish music.
Mm.
So I call it trad discos, and I've been going all over the place with them. Great fun.
It's one of the highlights. I know there's trad festivals here in Ennis on a regular basis, and people will always look to see if Ollie is doing the trad disco. And I know that it attracts hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Anyway, let's go back to St. Patrick's Day. And where did you get this notion that people might be looking for something online?
The whole notion of doing the St. Patrick's Night, I was on the way out to, I do a regular swim on a Sunday in Spanish Point. With a big gang of us, and I do a bit of a hoolie at it. So I was on the way out. We were doing a St. Patrick's night, but with social distance, St. Patrick's morning one swim with the social distance in place and everything.
Yeah.
But thought of it on the way out. Oh, geez, that'd be a good old idea now if I could get away with that tonight. And then I mentioned it to June Burke, who has the Armada Hotel there, that I was thinking of doing it, and her partner Tony, and
yeah.
They both jumped at me. Blimey, that's a great idea. Oh, you should do that. And then before I knew it, June put it up online on her Instagram story that I was going to do it.
Yeah.
And I was reading this on the way home from Spanish Point to Ennis and thought, oh my gosh. So that's how it grew the wings, and it happened. So.
And you were in, and that was it.
That was it, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I saw parts of it afterwards. I didn't see it live, but you were genuinely just sitting in your living room. You had your laptop there. You had the disco lights on and the mirror ball going. And the whole lot, I mean, you went on out for it. What kind of reaction did you get?
Well, it kind of took me by shock. I wasn't actually expecting. I thought there'd be a few friends that'd be hooking in, mainly my sisters there in Manchester, and I have a sister in Australia, and mum and dad. I thought a few family and friends now, but I wasn't expecting the feed that you get on the live Facebook Live.
Mm.
I wasn't expecting it to be going so quick, so I missed most of the requests. But it turns out I took the figures. My niece screenshotted the figures. This was a few minutes after I finished on St. Patrick's Night.
Right.
So it was just over 3,000 people watching.
Wow.
And I was, oh my gosh. And then I saw the figures for the messages were, there was just over 500 messages gone through.
That's
during
phenomenal.
The broadcast.
That's phenomenal.
So it took me by shock, and it humbled me, to be honest, Ger, as well.
All right, fair play. Yeah. And so you said to yourself, well, there's the bones of a good idea. And then on, was it last Friday? It was last Friday because I was travelling all day Thursday. And last Friday I saw friends of mine posting on Facebook and Instagram that you're going to be doing something on Saturday night. And you did do something on Saturday night. Tell us what you did.
I did. You see, that came out of requests and personal messages that were sent into my own inbox for me to do it again. Would I do it Saturday night? A local business, Coots Bakery, they said, Ollie, you've got to do Saturday night. You've got to do Saturday night. So, and as soon as I put the post up, within an hour, there was around 20-odd shares of it, which would be, I thought, wow, that's a lot. Like, and there was nearly 200 comments on it. So I thought, oh, well, there's going to be a few listening, so, yeah, this will be a good old crack. But I wasn't expecting just over 7,000
people.
just over 7,000 were actually watching. Some of them would have been doubling up, coming in and out with frequency, with Wi-Fi connections and stuff.
Right.
But there was just over 7,000, and I got 1,600 messages. 1,600 messages.
Holly, that's incredible. And where did you get a chance to scan through them? Do you know, like, I'm sure a lot of it was County Clare, but a lot of it could have been the UK and Australia. Where were they all from, or where were they coming from?
Well, the split divide now, there was a lot from Manchester, where I grew up, because I'd have been doing weddings and parties there for years.
Yeah.
And I'm still going back. I still do 2-3 events in Manchester every year. I fly back over.
Right.
And then there was a lot from Clare and various parts of the country, because I'd worked this out a few years ago. I've worked in 31 of the 32 counties around the country. So I'd have friends all over the place.
Yeah.
But then there was messages coming in from various parts of the states. A couple came in from Kenya, from different parts of Kenya. Bewildering, I don't know.
Well, you see, of course, there would be a good Kenyan population in Ennis who would have come across you, and they would have maybe said to friends, look, this is what's happening in Ireland. It's incredible.
Yeah. And then there was a lot from Australia, various parts of Australia as well. And then I spotted on some of the messages, people were responding to other comments from other people that were watching. And I thought, where did that comment come from? And then I was told that other people were holding their own watch party.
Right.
So they were streaming it further on from mine. So it was just...
Ollie, have you struck on something here that could be the future of entertainment?
There's a great possibility in it. There is, yeah.
Because they say that when this is all over, we won't be returning to the normality or the norm that we had prior to this. So I suppose there are things that could just develop from here, couldn't they?
Yeah, this is the new norm, Jeff. You hit the nail on the head there. I'd say it is the new norm. I've already been offered financial help as well. People have offered, you know, if it's costing you anything, Ollie, we can send you money. I'm like, no.
Wow.
It's fine. Wow. Yeah, it's got to that extent. I'm starting a show as soon as I've got my tech sorted out at home on an online radio station as well. So
great.
That's come out of it. So you don't know what'll happen.
Well, if you need any assistance with that, please do give me a shout, because I have a little bit of experience in it and I can help you out, no problem.
Great, thank you very much.
Ollie, thanks very much for working so hard to keep the spirits up. If somebody wants to join you on, I presume you're doing it again.
Yeah, every Saturday now.
Oh, brilliant. So at what time?
8:30. I can't compete with Ant and Dick.
Oh, listen, I'd say they're quaking in their boots right now.
So straight after them, I'm on 8:30 till 11. So.
That's Irish time, so it'll be 9:30 in Spain. Yeah. All right, that's fine. Ollie, I wish you... Oh, sorry, it's on your Facebook page, which is Ollie Malooly, OlliMullolly.
That's right. I'll be opening the page up now for the hour or so, the couple of hours on a Saturday night. So.
Well, when you do... share it, and I'll happily share it on from there, and people can see it as well. All right,
thanks, Jeff.
Ollie, an absolute joy talking to you. I haven't seen you in a very long time, but hopefully, when this is all over, we get to say hello again.
We'll catch up, mate.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Ollie.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Now, we're heading to Benalmádena and saying hello to Cath John. Cath will be no stranger to the Irish community in and around the Benalmádena, Torremolinos, indeed even the Mijas area, because she, number one, runs a pub in Benalmádena, but number two, is very involved with entertaining people. Nice to talk to you, Cath. You are one of these people that tend not to be at home quite a lot because you're a busy, busy person. So how are you finding it being at home all this time?
This is true. Keeping the kids entertained is the biggest thing, because we've got four. That's the biggest thing for me, keeping them upbeat and everything. And then when they go to bed, that's when I get cabin fever.
Okay. Your children aren't like wee children. They're not small children, sure they're not.
No. My eldest is 16 tomorrow.
Oh.
My twins are 15 the week after, and my baby is 13 the week after that.
Happy days. So you're talking about a house full of young adults, really, aren't you?
That's true. We eat a lot, Jay. They eat a lot.
Oh, listen, who are you telling? Kath, I did mention that you're no stranger to the Irish community, and people that would normally join us in Torremolinos and Benalmádena for the St. Patrick's Day celebrations would see you in action with the Celtic Chicks and the younger people with Banana Studios. So that's kind of what you do apart from the pub business. That must be a fairly daunting schedule, is it?
Sure, but it's something the kids look forward to every year. You know, getting to perform, learning different songs. I think we only have 3 Irish kids in Bananas, but they all do a little bit of Irish dancing and a little bit. They're quite aware, you know, of 8 years I've been doing St. Patrick's Day now, and I absolutely love it.
Of course, you're Welsh. Where are you from originally in Wales?
I'm from the Valleys down in South Wales, a little place called Bettws.
Lovely. And how long are you in Benalmádena?
25 years.
Oh, wow.
I've lived here.
And you haven't lost the accent?
No, I think I sound quite Spanish.
Spanish? Ah, yeah, that's lovely. You wait to hear that back. Kath, in relation to the lockdown, things are a lot more serious in Spain in terms of restrictions than they are in Ireland at the moment. And from the get-go, from pretty much the start, you and your family decided to try and keep us fit. So you have a daily Keep Fit class online. Tell me about it.
We do. I have 4 children. My 2 older ones, they're into dancing. My elder one is, he also performs with the Jersey Boys. So he loves dancing. My younger boy loves dancing. And the other 2 are into football. So they're all quite fit.
Right.
And they wanted to do something to keep themselves going. So every morning we went down and we started moving around a little bit. And I said, oh, why don't I record it? Mm. And we can put it online. So the next thing, the T-shirt printer came out and the little T-shirts.
Brilliant.
We're a bit like, well, you've met me. We're a bit like that as a family. If you're going to do it, let's get on with it.
Yes.
So we did that. And then Nanny rang yesterday and asked, could we do one for OAPs? So my friend said, yeah, come on, let's do one for old people. So we did a chair one yesterday.
Brilliant.
It was our first day. So they do a really energetic one now, and then they do one for people who can't move around so much.
And how long do these videos last?
About 3 minutes each.
All right.
I've got all my friends in Wales keep posting that everybody's doing it. And I mean, they're not on full lockdown yet in the UK.
No.
So we're having a lot of support already with everybody doing it. But I mean, if people are on their own, then it gives them something to even look at, see the kids enjoying themselves. It'll lift spirits a little bit. That's what I thought, you know.
That's absolutely brilliant. And are you getting good feedback from people in Spain as well?
Amazing, yeah. A lot of my Spanish friends keep putting a few little comments on there. Que bueno. And most people around here know that I'm crazy anyway, Jeff.
It's not that you're crazy. You're energetic and you're creative. I think that's how we'd put it.
Nice crazy, my friends call it.
Really, yeah. That's not too bad. we hear that the restrictions are going to be extended. So you're going to keep this up for the duration, are you?
Definitely. Yesterday morning, we didn't want to do it. And then once I got more motivated, they were really glad that we did it. But it is hard keeping up the spirits when you can't go anywhere, you know?
And I was just going to ask is this helping you and your family to keep your spirits up? Is it helping you to engage and have something other than just boredom on your minds?
Oh, definitely. You've got something that you... And if you think you're doing... My kids are give backers, you know? So... Give back and it'll come back to you. So
yeah.
I keep saying to him, come on, you know, Doris down the road might be watching this. He might be keeping her going. Come on, we'll go do it.
You never know. All right, Kath, how do we get to see this if we want to?
It's on my page, Kath John, but it's also on CJ's Karaoke and Cocktail Bar one as well. So I put them on both.
Okay.
And then I put them on a few little social sites that we've got over here as well. So.
Okay, these are all on, these are your Facebook pages and CJ's Facebook page.
Yeah, I think I put them on Instagram as well, but I'm not very good on Instagram, Jeff.
Yeah, it's kind of for the younger people, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I keep saying. Apparently I've got loads of followers, but I don't even know how I did that.
Well, there you go. That's the wonders of technology. Well, Kath, I wish you and your family continued success with those. And thanks very much for keeping our spirits up and trying to keep us fit. It's nice. So many people are trying to do so many different things and delighted that you're part of that. Of course, you're part of this whole Rock the Lockdown as well, aren't you?
Oh, that was amazing. Yeah, we did that on the weekend. I was on Saturday evening, which you can still watch all the videos back because they're all on their page.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It was amazing just being able to get up, And as I said in my video, I haven't put a bra on for a week. So just to get dressed and clothes and put makeup on to perform to nobody was quite weird. But obviously, it's something that we may have to get used to for the next couple of months.
Yeah.
Even we don't know.
Yeah.
You know, so it gave everybody. One of my friends is a singer. She's living on her own. You know, so she got a chance to get dressed up, put her makeup on, her show dress, and sing a couple of tunes. So it lifted them as well as, you know, giving something for people to watch them, you know?
Great stuff.
And there was so much talent on it. It was unbelievable.
Fantastic. All right, Kath, listen, I wish you well with the whole lot, you and the family, and stay well on lockdown, and look forward to seeing you at the other side.
Thank you very much. Everybody stay safe over there.
Thank you. And in the meantime, Kath, if you come up with any more ideas that you think you'd like to help promote, give us a shout. I'd be more than happy to help.
Perfect. Thank you, Jeff.
All right.
Keep the family safe.
Will do. You too. Thanks, Kath. Bye.
Bye-bye for now. Bye-bye.
And now we go back to County Clare in Ireland, and a man who's been a friend of mine for a very long time, and a man who likes to make people laugh and smile quite a lot, lives in Crusheen, a lovely village just north of Ennis, and his name is Paul Curley. Paul, good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm good, Joe. How are you, sir?
I'm alive and I'm well, as far as I know. And that's a bonus at this particular time for everybody.
Yeah.
You, as I say, you and I have been friends for a long time. So I know the efforts that you go to make people laugh and to smile and to inject a bit of happiness into our lives. And you do it quite successfully. And you're no stranger to public performance. You're not a professional in terms of being on the stage, but you're no stranger to it because you're involved in pantomimes locally and plays and things like that, aren't you?
That's right. That's right, Gerard. I've been doing a kind of an annual thing at Christmas. It's kind of quite common now here in Ireland for Christmas pantomime, part of Christmas for kids, etc. So we do that purely, as I said, on an amateur level, but a very professional show.
Indeed. And you spent some time living in Galway and you were involved with plays and stage work there.
Correct and right, yeah. But mostly, I kind of fell into the comedy bit. I started off doing serious drama, and I kind of fell into the comedy bit because I was kind of laughing too much during the serious bits.
Right.
So you could be, you know, one play one time where my father on stage was dying, and the cancer, whatever way he looked to me, I couldn't keep serious.
Right, okay.
So I kind of veered towards comedy from then on.
It was kind of destiny for you, I suppose.
It was.
No, I was talking to you the other day when you sent one of the videos that you've produced for online, and you said, look, it's more about keeping myself occupied than anything else. So tell me, what are you doing on online at the minute and have been doing for the last few days?
Well, basically just doing little clips of little characters. I myself was away for a while, so I came back and so I just self-isolate, like most people. So I'm home alone an awful lot of times. So I'm kind of going, God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And so my daughter said to me, she lives in Kerry, she said, Dad, why don't you do a clip someday? So I said, I'm not big into social media. I never was. So I started doing it, but the feedback was humongous and huge. So I said, God, this might go somewhere. So I did another one and then the next one. And I kind of run out of ideas now at the moment.
I think the first one I saw, you were topless, in fairness. At once you see something, you just can't unsee it.
You were
singing a Spanish or a Mexican song.
Well, you see, because of me not being able to hold on to the words very long, I was singing the Mexican song, but for some reason, your man from Mexico met a girl from Alaska. Now, I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, cold meets warm.
Yeah, a bridge too far, I think.
In your pantomimes as well, you've played the character Wishy Washy a number of times. I can't remember what panto that's from. But
Aladdin,
yeah. Is it? Okay, Aladdin. you did something with Wishy Washy as well. So you've done a fair few.
Yeah, but unfortunately, Wishy Washy, you know, I have to explain about him and I have to apologize to him because he kind of offended, I'd say, about 6 billion Chinese across the world. He tends to do that every now and again, you
does
know.
Does he? Okay.
But he does. It's not me now. I have nothing to do with him. Absolutely nothing to do with him.
And do you write all this stuff yourself?
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
Most of you write yourself and a lot of it's ad-lib. Some of it just comes to mind when you're doing it, you know.
Mm.
It's kind of, you know, it's like anyone, you know, if you're a character doing something, it could be a musician, he could be walking along, they sing a tune come into his head. Very, very similar.
Okay. And is there a bit of pressure now, did you say, trying to come up with a few more ideas?
Yeah, because I made the misfortune of saying to people, oh, I'll do it for the 14 days. I'm only day 6 in.
Oh, jeepers.
Yeah. So what I do is what I have a great trick there. I'm an awful man for collecting hats from around different parts or whatever. And I look at the hat and I can come up with something then very quick.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, yeah, I have another few hats in the box, as the man said.
You were wearing a wig that I've seen before when you did a piece that was like Mrs. Doubtfire for all the world.
Well, I was raised by a very strong woman called Beezo Curly, Mrs. Curly. And that's actually her wig, the creator.
I know. I've seen it.
So she was a very... Before there was a Mrs. Doubtfire, before there was a Mrs. Brown around the world, there was a Mrs. Curly. And it's uncanny that when I put on the wig and put on a certain garlic and whatever, my own family siblings get scared. They get a fright when they see me. And I've had loads of feedback from people that wouldn't know her. And loads of lots of nice thoughts from people that would have known her around the town. Yeah. She'd be quite popular, etc.
Paul, if somebody wants to see one or two or more of these particular videos, how can they do that?
Well, they're on a Facebook page. They're on my own Facebook page, Paul Curley. Just go into, you'll find me there somewhere, you will. Other than that, I say I'm not into social media big time. My daughter starts putting it up and then I start to share it myself. So if you go into Paul Curley's Facebook, you'll find it.
Okay, so Paul, PaulCurley.
L-E-Y. Okay. Ireland. You'll find me. Pop up straight away. Will.
On behalf of the nation, can I say thank you for trying to keep our spirits up and for making us realise just how fortunate we are in our own worlds.
Well, do you know what? If anything comes out of this, let's all get together, community, and realise it. Let's a few characters come back into the world again and stop the nonsense.
All right. Paul Curley in Croisín in County Clare, thank you for talking to us today. And continue. I look forward to seeing what's coming down the line for the next 8 days.
Watch this space, as the man says. Thanks a million, Ger, and the best to look out there.
And we're going to leave it right there. Come back to me just after this break. We've lots more to
talk. Live on ERA, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Welcome back to the programme. Now, the man that you just heard there saying that Ger Sweeney presents live on ERA, that's actually a friend of mine from Ireland called Pat Costello. Pat is a wonderful broadcaster. He's got a great voice, as you can hear, but he's also a very talented musician and plays music with Shaskeen and a number of other bands. But we'll talk about that again another stage. But I wanted to just wish him well because Pat was unwell over the last week or two. Nothing to do with COVID-19 or anything like that, I'm glad to say. But I hope that Pat is making a good recovery. And I will be certainly in touch with you, Pat, over the next day or so. Anyway, that's just that. Now, something that I want to pass on to you, some information that might be of use to you. You know the way we like here on TRE to keep you up to date with what's happening and to be able to answer as many questions as you have as we possibly can. And we've been doing that over the last 2 weeks in particular. And I know that it's appreciated. And I know that everybody here is working hard to keep you up to date with what's happening. Well, this coming Thursday at 1:20 p.m. to be precise, Dr. David Dearden from the British Surgical Clinic in Gibraltar will be joining Selena to answer your calls on general medical issues, including the coronavirus COVID-19. Now, there won't be any calls taken live on air during the programme. So if you have a question that you would like to put to Dr. Dearden, would you please email it to Selena? And that is selena@tre.radio, S-E-L-I-N-A, selena@tre.radio before Thursday. Selena's already got some questions through and you can hear Selena with Dr. David Dearden from 1:20 on Thursday afternoon on The Lifestyle Show, all here on Talk Radio Europe. It might be something that would be of interest to you, and seeing as you're indoors and you're looking for things to do, get on the old WhatsApp and pass on the information that Dr. Dearden is going to be joining Selena on Thursday. Now, last week I ran out of time. I was embarrassed to say that I ran out of time. I knew there was something in the back of my head that I needed to clarify and I couldn't think of what it was. And then it dawned on me. Patricia Traynor had given us some questions for St. Patrick's Day. There was a St. Patrick's Day quiz. I got some of the answers out. I passed it on to Dave and asked him the following day, would he play it? And he did. And thank you, David, for doing that. Much appreciated, and warm regards to you and your family. But I just thought that I got a number of emails from people during the week asking about certain questions. So I'm going to give you the answers again right now. Here's Patricia.
The first one was, why do we celebrate St. Patrick's Day precisely on the 17th of March? Well, because it was the day St. Patrick died. The 17th of March, 461. Now, the next one was, Which two rivers are dyed green in the USA on St. Patrick's Day? Now, I know most of you will be thinking, oh, Chicago. That's right. Chicago River is dyed green. But also, the river in San Antonio, Texas, is dyed green. Now, that hard question. What famous building was designed by James Hogan? And, of course, the clue about County Kilkenny didn't help you. I know that. Because he was the architect who designed the White House together with George Washington. 4. Why has the shamrock 3 leaves and not 4 like the 4-leafed clover? Well, because St. Patrick used the shamrock to explain the mystery of the Blessed Trinity, 3 persons in one God. 5 was, where is St. Patrick buried? Well, he's buried in Downpatrick, together actually with St. Bridget and St. Columbkill. 6. 4 Irish men have won the Nobel Prize for Literature. Can you name them? Well, we have William Butler Yeats, who won the Nobel Prize in 1923, George Bernard Shaw, who won the Nobel Prize 2 years later, 1925. Then we have Samuel Beckett, who won the Nobel Prize 1969. And the more recent one is Seamus Heaney, who won the prize in 1985. Sean McBride won the Nobel Prize, the Peace Prize, in 1974. But who was Sean McBride's mother? Well, if you'd listened to some of the earlier stories, you would have known it was Maud Gonne, the muse of William Butler Yeats. And if you've listened to some of the other stories that I've been telling, you might have heard who was called the uncrowned King of Ireland. And the answer was Charles Stuart Parnell. 9. Can you name 2 people from Derry who have won a Nobel Prize? Notice I said a Nobel Prize, not specifying, say, yes, for literature or for science or for Peace Prize. And the 2 people are John Hume, who won the Nobel Peace Prize together with David Trimble in 1998, and Seamus Heaney won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1985. Both were natives of Derry. Now, who were the Molly Maguires? Well, you know the song about the Molly Maguires. They were, in fact, coal miners in Pennsylvania who, in the 19th century, resorted to violence after they were unable to obtain reasonable working conditions and a fair wage when that failed by means of strikes and negotiations. Now, they often disguised themselves as women and invented a woman who was their leader, and they called her Molly Maguire. That's where the name the Molly Maguires comes from.
Thank you for that, Patricia. And again, apologies for running out of time last week. During our famous birthdays, I told you about a man by the name of Des Keogh, an actor and entertainer born in Birr on the 25th of March in 1935. And here he is right now. It's a little ditty that's called Matt Hannigan's Aunt.
Oh, Matt Hannigan had an aunt, an uncle too likewise, but in this chant 'tis Hannigan's aunt I wish to eulogise. For when young lovers came and asked her to be theirs, Matt Hannigan's aunt took each gallant and fired them down the stairs, and fired them down the stairs. So here's a health to Hannigan's aunt, I'll tell you the reason why. She always done things decent in the Hannigan family. A platter and can for every man, what more do the quality want? If you're bitten your sup, what's cocking yours up, says Matcha Hannigan's aunt. Oh, she never would raise her voice, she never was known to scold, but when Hannigan's aunt said, no you can't, you did what you were told. And if anyone answered back, oh, then his hair she'd comb. For all I want, says Hannigan's aunt, is peace in our happy home, is peace in our happy home. So here's a health to Hannigan's aunt, I'll tell you the reason why. She always done things decent in the Hannigan family. A platter and can for every man, what more do the quality want? If you've bitten your soap, what's cocking yours up, says Matcha Hannigan's aunt. Oh, whenever she went to court, the aide of Kong's in vain would fume and rant, for Hannigan's aunt said, boy, let go of me train. And when the Lord Lieutenant a kiss on her brow would imprint, oh no, you can't, says Hannigan's aunt, without me pass consent, without me pass consent. So here's a health to Hannigan's aunt, I'll tell you the reason why. She always done things decent in the Hannigan family. A platter and can for every man, what more do the quality want? You're bitten your soap, what's cocking yours up, says Matcha Hannigan's aunt. Oh, 'tis often we'd praise her up, we'd laud her to the sky, we'd all descant on Hannigan's aunt and hope she never would die. But still I'd like to add, if Hannigan isn't about, that when we plant Matt Hannigan's hat, we won't be much put out. Oh, we won't be much put out. So here's a health to Hannigan's hat. I'll tell you the reason why. She always done things decent in the Hannigan family life. Woo! A platter and can for every man. What more than the quality want? Give your bit and your soup, what's cocking your soup? Says Matt to Hannigan's hat.
That's Des Kyo and a song called Matt Hannigan's Aunt. Nice little ditty, isn't it? And Des celebrates his birthday on Wednesday, the 25th. Right, so I'm going to do a quick break, come back to me just after that, and I will be talking to Ben Sweeney about things in Ireland relating to coronavirus, COVID-19.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Welcome back to the programme, the final part, and we're going to check in with Ben Sweeney to find out a little bit about what's happening in Ireland in relation to the coronavirus. Ben, good to talk to you again. How are you?
You too, Ger. How are you keeping?
I'm keeping very well, thank you. And so are you, I hope.
not too bad.
Ben is the producer of Clare FM's Morning Focus programme, which deals with current affairs in and around the county. I presume, Ben, that COVID-19 is the topic of conversation on Clare FM, and indeed, like it is on other radio stations and TV stations.
Absolutely. It's actually just very hard to get away from anything that we're talking about across any sort of service or charity or business or political. It's all COVID-19 related, so it really has just completely captured the nation.
Indeed, and we did mention last week when we were talking that a week seems like a very long time and things change so quickly in a week. And indeed, here we are, another Monday evening, and I suppose we should start with the live broadcast on St. Patrick's Night of the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar. He addressed the nation, and it appears to have had a very positive effect on people, and people seem to have listened carefully to what he had to say, were impressed by what he had to say. What was the feeling on the ground, do you think?
I think you've hit the nail on the head there now. People were very impressed with him, and of course, through my dealings with you on the show, I would have spoken about maybe Leo Varadkar and the government's performance down through the last year, let's say, and how people were kind of so-so on Leo, and he hadn't performed well in the general election, but he certainly has restored a lot of confidence in himself and the caretaker government that are looking after this. Of course, the government still hasn't been formed. Before that, I think last week we would have spoken about the WhatsApps that were going around, the misinformation that was being spread about lockdowns and the likes. When we got notification at 8 o'clock on St. Patrick's Day that in an hour there was going to be a state of the nation that was simulcast across TV stations, we were fairly certain that there was going to be some sort of lockdown announced or some further restriction on movements, but that wasn't the case. When it got to what he actually had to say, it was more of a rally than anything else to say, look, we're at the very early stages. I know you're scared. Let's not lull ourselves into false sense of security. The worst is still to come. And that very dark phrase he said, the surge will come, and it will come. And I think that took a lot of people by surprise, but was very reassuring to hear him being so frank and honest and communicative about it, because we had been critical before that they were kind of slow to respond to different things, but they've been very open and very honest about how everything is working out and playing out, and it's really working with how the public are reacting to it.
I remember sitting and watching the leaders' debates before the general election, and I would certainly have commented online that I didn't hold out a whole lot of hope for the country if this is what was going to lead us. Having said that, I swallow my words, because I found myself being very reassured looking at Leo Varadkar on the television on St. Patrick's Night, and I found myself thinking that the rest of the country would be as well. So I think they're doing a good job, aren't they?
They actually are, in fairness, and I think cross-party and you know, whatever party you're coming from, you people are saying, well, in fairness to them, they're doing a great job of managing this. And the comparison is often made between what's going on in the UK, and obviously that's even more obvious because the border with Northern Ireland, it's so obvious the difference between how the two health systems were approaching that. And people are very happy with how it's all going so far, or relatively happy, or as happy as you could be given the circumstances, I suppose. And now, where it goes from here, we don't know. I think I heard the Taoiseach on radio this morning saying that they are due to get another meeting of the emergency response team that are meeting for the Department of Health, who've been kind of guiding the government's approach to this. And they've been very honest in saying, look, well, this is what they've told us, so this is exactly what we're doing. They're following all that advice. There's another meeting of that tomorrow, I believe. So I'd imagine we could probably see some more restrictions coming in, because I think, as you alluded to earlier on, there's been some issues with social distancing here, and that phrase that's become synonymous with COVID-19. We had a nice weekend over the weekend, and a lot of people heading to coastal areas. Big tourist spots like Glendalough and Wicklow, which is a very green area. Mm-hmm. The coast along the west coast of Ireland was full of people. There's beaches, the guards had to be called in to send people away. Roads closed in Wicklow near Glendalough. So the idea that people will be good and social distance themselves and keep away from other people is fine, but they're all having the same idea and going to the same places. Mm. So with the best intentions, they're accidentally all gathering together. So we'd expect there will probably be some sort of further restriction of movement, or even guidance maybe on don't actually do this, because at the minute it's all kind of, well, stay away from other people, but you're still okay to go for a walk. So there is a bit of confusion there, but we expect that in the next maybe 48 hours we'll get further guidance on that.
As you know, I travelled from Spain to Ireland on Thursday, mm-hmm. and in line with the guidance that we were given on the flight, I have been keeping myself to myself pretty much as best I can, so much so you and I haven't even seen each other since I got home. But I was amazed. I did go suited and booted to protect myself and others, just in case, to a supermarket the other day. And I did make a comment to the leader of the opposition who was with me that, you know, this was not going to be allowed to continue for very much longer, in my opinion. Because when you look at the measures that have been taken in France, in Spain, in Greece, I think today they've gone on lockdown. When you look at the Chinese situation, people were just milling around the supermarket. There was very little attempt in social distancing. The aisles are quite narrow. It's difficult to stay a metre or two apart. Do you think, is there a sense within the media in Ireland that we are going to face stiffer restrictions and maybe even complete lockdown in the coming days or weeks?
There is, I suppose that comes with the health warning as well, that, you know, we've been kind of predicting this for a couple of weeks. I suppose, Gerard, it's inevitable, really. As Leah said, you know, the worst is yet to come. When that does come, they're going to have to take measures to stop that spreading as quickly as it could, as we've seen from other countries. As you point out there, the supermarkets, some in fairness to the likes of Dunn Stores, which people will see in Spain as well, have been very good in limiting people to 100 people per shop, and they're okay. Big shops. But other retailers, which I won't name, have certainly been poor from what I've seen myself, and, you know, people stacking up on top of each other or bumping off each other. And it's kind of inevitable when that's happening that there's going to have to be something. If it's not a complete lockdown in the first instance, it'll have to be. So yeah, we do expect something. What form it will take, if it'll be a lockdown straight away, we don't know. It could just be a further restriction. But again, everything's up in the air for probably the next 48 hours.
It must be difficult for a local radio station right now, because so many businesses are closing temporarily. Some of them may not reopen. But when it comes to local media like Clare FM and indeed the Clare Champion newspaper, local newspaper, and the Clare Echo, advertising is going to be drying up. And I know that that is the case already. So is there a sense of wondering as to what's going to happen? Is there likely going to be job losses or whatever?
That's the concern, all right. The local radio stations have been calling for, or I suppose more generally commercial radio stations have been calling for a section of the broadcasting levy that the state broadcaster will get paid for a number of years. And they're saying that now that would be more important than ever, because so many of the advertisers are either shut up shop for the duration or just don't want to risk spending the money. And like local radio makes all of its money off advertising. So they did announce last week that they're going to waive the first half of the broadcasting levy, which is a fairly substantial amount, which does go towards helping the situation more generally. But there's a lot of fear in the local media that it's not sustainable for a long period of time. I know some of the local papers in the area are doing an online-only edition.
Okay.
And their logic with that is that, you know, it's helping stop the spread of the virus as well, because people aren't touching papers, they're not being delivered and the likes. So that's one strategy been taken. But it's uncharted territory for everyone. So we really don't know what way it's going to play out or what government might announce that could help.
A little earlier on, I was talking to Ollie Mullooly, and Ollie, as you probably know, has done two different online discos, in inverted commas, from his living room, one on St. Patrick's evening and one on last Saturday. And he's now looking at the possibility of an online radio station and doing some programs. He's got phenomenal numbers. I asked the question of him is that, you know, people are saying that when we return to a norm, it won't be the norm that we were used to prior to this. Is there a sense within the media business that things could change and could change permanently that may not reflect well on the business?
I don't know. There's been so many challenges coming for local radio anyways, for radio, it's kind of hard to see where things are going to go anyways. I don't know. We'll have to kind of wait and see how the place looks once the virus is cleared up in some sort of manageable way before we know how it's going to affect us. Look, there'll likely be job losses, as there is across every sector, really. But it's hard to know how that'll affect things going forward then for us.
All right. Are your colleagues concerned?
They are, yeah. I think, well, the whole country is really, so I suppose we can't be selfish about it, but they obviously are. I wasn't working in local radio when the recession happened in 2008, but those who were remember how tough it was and the money they lost and the wages that were cut. So I think that's very much playing in their mind.
All right. And finally, Ben, I know that the minister, or indeed all ministers, the government has called on people to kind of stand up and, you know, be there for your country, and they are looking for people, particularly in the health sector, to come forward, and they're offering them jobs and minimum contracts of 3 months. And we see a lot of retired people from the health services returning to work. And they're basically saying, look, if you want to work, no matter what your skill, no matter what you can do, we can use you. And there's been a huge number of people. I think something like 20,000 people have applied for jobs. So that's a good thing in one sense, isn't it?
It certainly is. And not to prove you wrong there, but I think it's actually more close to 40,000 now at this stage.
Is it?
24,000. Yeah, there was 24,000 in the first 24 hours. I think it's up towards about 40,000 now. What they're doing is they're taking students who might be through most of their education in college and are out on placement. They're taking retired people. They're taking, I know a friend of mine who's a doctor in history working in a local university. He's applied because of the research skills he has, and they've accepted him and the like. So there really is a place for everyone who wants to help. It could be cleaning, it could be healthcare, it could be research. But the response to it has been phenomenal. As well as that, as you mentioned, the frontline services, there's been a huge support for a campaign called Feed the Heroes that was set up as a small GoFundMe to just send a couple of, you know, boxes of pizza or some fast food into some frontline staff in a local hospital. That's now become a national campaign that people are donating tons of money to. That's, you know, some way of showing the appreciation they have for the frontline workers. Something interesting, actually, we mentioned Leo Varadkar's speech earlier, and he talked about how the healthcare workers are so important and we'll look after you. There was probably some laughing done by healthcare workers who've been asking for help in, you know, funding or bigger hospitals and the likes for the past number of years anyways. But, you know, it's certainly been a good time. The spirit of the country has really stood up, and I think that's where you see the merits of being a smaller country, really, because those small things can have a big knock-on effect in terms of morale and everything for both the healthcare workers and also the people who are afraid of what might happen. To see things like that and see communities coming together, and that's been reflected in many different ways across Ireland, is very reassuring.
All right, Ben, I shall leave you to it. Make sure that you look after yourself. Stay your distance away from people and then away from you, and look after yourself, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again very shortly to find out what is happening in your neck of the woods. Thanks, Ben Sweeney, who is the producer of Morning Focus at Clare FM. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ger.
When your head seems to be starting to explode, and the weight on your back seems to be overloading, and you're dragging your feet behind you like a dreamer.
Off the ground.
Yeah, are we ready?
Yeah,
I'm talking about people. Each day, my kind of people try to make their own way. I'm talking about living a little life you can, like a
and fighters flying overhead. I ain't talking about steel girded silver steel battleships filling each other's bellies full of lead. No, I ain't talking about war machines or games made to destroy. No, I'm a talking about human beings. Yeah. Like girls and boys. I'm talking about people. But it means love anyway. Now I say, I got my feet on the ground.
That is the song that was at number one in Ireland on this very day, the 23rd of March back in 1988, from the Hothouse Flowers. That's a song that's called Feet on the Ground. That is all I have time for this evening on the programme. It's been a busy one. Can I say thank you very much to everybody who contributed to the programme today. Thank you to Ben that you heard just before the Hothouse Flowers. Thank you very much to Ollie Malooly in Ennis in County Clare. Thanks to Kath John in Benalmadena. Thank you to Paul Curley in Croisín in County Clare, and thank you most especially for listening to the programme today as well. As always, can I say a big hello and a big thank you to our Spanish-Irish cultural advisor, that is Jose Antonio Sierra in Spain. And Jose Antonio, I hope that you are well, and I look forward to catching up with you very shortly. Until next week, from me, Ger Sweeney, look after yourselves and each other and stay away from each other. See you soon. Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.